Hi, this is Farhang Yildizi from Jerry Piffin Radio Show, and right now I am at the Cultural Contact Mythology is Reality Art Show. My guest is Mark Brückenhoff. Hello, Mark.
Hi.
Welcome to our show.
Hi, Farah. Nice to be here.
I'm very much interested in talking about your experiences, about your art, because I can see that your UFO and ET-related experiences are reflecting in your art, right? Am I wrong?
No, you're correct.
So tell me about yourself. Where are you from? Where do you live? And what happened?
Okay, originally I was from Yonkers, New York. That's where I was born. And then we moved to Manpack, New York, upstate. And it's mostly, things started when I was a child, a little baby, actually. But I remember before I was born, and I'm what they call, people have said I'm a walk-in, but I don't understand that. I'd say I took over some body that was being, it was going to be born dead, the baby. And it's 8 months, my mother was pregnant. She was having a miscarriage, was taken to the hospital. And I was watching everything from the ceiling, or high above the ceiling.
How do you remember these memories?
I just always remembered it.
I mean, you came to this world with these memories, with this knowledge.
Yes, and I watched everything. A spirit or energy came out of the person laying on the gurney, because I didn't relate to anybody that was there. I just was watching from the ceiling of the people, doctors and nurses. And then a spirit came up and passed by me, and I had another being with me. I would say that was an angelic presence. And as a being, as a spirit passed me, it was a child, like, then it formed into an adult, like an adult level. And as it went past me telepathically, it said, "The baby's going to be born dead. I'm leaving." The spirit with me says, "Do you want to try this one?" So I said, "Okay, I'll go check the energy." That's all I remember saying. I go down there, and I'm hovering over the person on the gurney. And then I said, "Yes, okay, I could try this."
That's a very amazing experience. It means that's a very amazing part of your life. So can you describe me the environment that you were in that moment?
Where were you?
I had come from space, and I had been watching with people from other space. The beings that I'd drawn are the people I call family. Mm-hmm. Well, they had arranged for me to try to come in here, mm-hmm. since I'd never been born on this planet before. I've walked on the planet, but I don't usually tell this story. I only tell it to a few friends and family. And I verified everything with my parents. When I was a little child, I was trying to explain to my mother what happened and what I remembered. And I said, "Mom, do you remember when all things were wrong and suddenly went right? Well, that's when I came in." And she would say, "Who told you this? Did your aunt tell you this?" And I said, I didn't understand that. Why would my aunt tell me a memory that I had? So I said, "No, I'm trying to tell you about a memory that I remember." And she kept pushing me away about it. Like, "What? Like, no, don't talk about it now." But finally, when I was about almost 10 years old, I sat her down, I got her, and I said, "Mom, do you remember when everything was wrong?" So I went, "Well, all right." And she says, "Okay." I said, "That's when I came in." And she says, "Why are you telling me this?" I said, "This is my memory. I was in the ceiling watching everything, and this person on the gurney was in trouble." She says, "How many people were in the room?" I said, "Four." She says, "Okay, how many nurses?" I said, "Two." And she said, "How?" And I drew a picture of where everything looked and what it looked like. And she says, "Nobody knows this. No one, just me." And she says, "That is correct. Everything was wrong. And suddenly it was all right. The nurses were all upset. The doctors were all upset. And as far as she knew, she was miscarrying. And she had miscarriages way before, and miscarriages after, and never again any more children. But I said, "Well, the spirit came out and said, baby's going to be born dead. I'm leaving." And she said, "How did you know that?" And I said, "Well, that's what the spirit told me." So they took over. She said, "Well," I said, "when everything went all right, that's when I came in." And she understood that, well, that's what the doctors had said. The nurses got upset. And they said, "Mrs., we don't understand what's going on. Something's all wrong, and it's suddenly right, and we don't understand why. We don't understand why." But they started wheeling her out of the room, and I watched the whole thing happen. From inside, I heard the muffled voices of the nurses upset. And I kept saying, "But I'm here. It's okay
so
now."
So with your spirit energy, or as an energy,
yeah.
you moved towards to the newborn baby's physical body,
mm-hmm.
and you entered
yeah.
into the new body.
A month later, she was born, but very small, put in an incubator.
So in that moment, in the moment of connecting with the physical body, what did you feel, or do you remember?
Yes, I do. It was, I'm a taller entity. I remembered compressing myself very tightly into this, the tummy, my mother's, at the time, tummy. Mm-hmm. And I remember compressing and feeling very claustrophobic. And suddenly when everything was all right, meaning the heart started beating again, I started like, okay, I can handle this. And then an angelic presence that was with me was talking to me and saying, don't worry, everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. It's all going to be okay. And as soon as the voice faded, the nurse's voice and the muffled sound was like, you put hands over your ears. I could hear the nurse saying the same similar words the person was just telling me, the spirit. So the nurse was saying, everything's okay now. We don't understand why, but everything's okay. It became that voice of the nurse. And I went telepathically saying, but I'm here now. It's okay. And so that I was telling my mom all that story. She said, nobody knows this. So as I got older, I had lots of other experiences. But I was always going out of body into like what we call soul travel. And every time I went out, I was another person, 7-8 feet tall. And I asked my father when I was 5 years old, because I was telling him about the other side and where I'd been. And he said, there's no way you know this. How do you know about the planets and the solar system? I never told you this. And I said, because I remember and I've been there. And I was telling him about the inside of the moon, about the moons of Mars and how there's bases in there. And he said, he was like, there's no way you could know this. So he tested me with things. And he said, how many planets we have in our solar system? I said, I don't know. I said, how many do you say you have? And he said, we have 9. And he gave me all the names. And I said, no, there's 2 more after that, not including the one that blew up between those other planets. And he said, how do you know about that? I said, that's another planet that was there, blew up millions of years ago, known as another name at that time, which I know from the other side. They called it Maldek. And as I got older, I started reading about some stuff. I saw that same name. I said, that's the same name I remembered. So it was all connecting as I got older. But I was only able to speak to my dad about these things. My mother was skeptical, although she knew I had that memory. Before they passed away, they both admitted to me that after all the strange things that happened, from spaceships hovering over our house, following me for years, they both admitted, you weren't from here, kid. You know, there was something strange about you all the time. We always had strange things happening. I was levitating. There was a lot of weird things happening when I was a little kid. Animals would come to me. Wild animals would come to me. I have a thing for animals, but I had fish in a lake swimming around me in a spiral. I could pick them up with my hands and put them down. As soon as anybody else came in the water, they'd run away.
What about the humans?
Humans? Kids thought I was strange. They called me the Martian because they would see things with me. So I'd have to say animals, I responded to animals easier. They responded to me. And only people that were very open seemed to respond to me or like me and want to be friends, because I had very limited close friends as a kid, as a little kid.
What about now?
Now I have, I'd say the best friends if I have, I'd say a handful. 5 people maybe, 5 people. That I could trust totally, yes. Who know the whole story and have witnessed things with me.
Okay, in that case, let's talk about your extraterrestrial friends. So are they still contacting you? Are they still in your life?
Yes, they are.
So what is happening?
Well, what happened to me, I'll just give you an idea of what happened when I was 19. Mm-hmm. I lived in Flushing, Queens, and
it's
not hypnosis, it's like ask questions and see what comes out, like channeling stuff, but we didn't know about that then.
Okay.
We just knew that he would ask a question and I'd hear an answer. We tested it for fun and things would happen. So he'd go to school and tell me things that happened that I saw 2 different perspectives of. If you say this, this guy will say that. If you say this, the other person will say that. And I was seeing it in 3D, like I was seeing it all happening. So when my cousin went to school one day and he tested this out, it all happened. And he called me up from school and he said, Mark, it was amazing, it was bizarre. Mm-hmm. These guys actually said and did what you said they'd do in your vision. So he said, let's play with this for fun. Well, what happened is I moved to Flushing, and he would visit, and we'd do these little questions and answers about all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'd hear, and I'd feel, and I'd speak. And that was it. I didn't understand what it was, a channel. I just knew I was hearing in my I'd have to say in the back of your ears, I don't know where else to say, in another spot. When it got too long, a band of energy would come around my head that would feel like a little compression. So I'd like a little, not a headache, but a little pressed feeling of ache. So we'd break for a tea for about a half hour, and then the ache would be gone, and you'd start again. And this went on for a few times during the week when he'd visit me, like on weekends. And one day I said telepathically in prayer, I said, gee, it'd be great if you guys can do something, because I know they're helping me with the answers, or I was hearing from my own over part, say. I said, if you could do something where the pain stops, that'd be great. That's all I said. That'd be fun. Next morning, I wake up. I was out of body, but the next morning I wake up, and at that time I had long hair at one point, and I just had it cut like a day or so before to a shorter hair, a shag. And I took the comb, and I just, just out of habit, went to comb hair like that was longer. And my comb went boom, 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 boom on the back of my head. And I said, what the heck was that? And I felt these bumps on my head. So I went out to the kitchen, and my roommate said, Mark, what's wrong with your head? Did you hit your head? There's bumps on the back of your head. Because they could see with the hair bumping out. And I said, I don't know. I think my friends did something, but I didn't tell them exactly what my friends were.
What was that?
We did something. It was never there before. It was always smooth.
So do you think that was it an implant, a microchip, a surgical?
They explained it to me. They did something on the, not the astral, but the higher etheric level when you go out of body. Because I remember laying on a table one point, but it was on a higher frequency, and they said, you know, this is nothing. All they did is adjusted something on that level. And they said, this will make an appearance in some way, but there'll be nothing physical to find anywhere in there, in your brain or anything. I've had it x-rayed. A doctor, chiropractor looked at it, and he said, this is weird. It's not like bone. I went to I met Andre Puharik, who brought Uri Geller over to
Andre
America.
I know Andre Puharik. Did you meet him?
Yes, 1976. And I went to his house. He lived in Ossining at the time. And he wanted me to come over because I knew one of the people that was staying with him at the time, too, for a few minutes, actually, just at a meeting. So they said, oh, come on over. So I went over, and I didn't tell him a thing. I said, hey, can you just touch that here? So he put his hands around my head, and he's like, oh, interesting. Oh, yeah, okay. And I said, what? He says, I felt this before. On kids in Mexico, it's the same type of bump. Similar bump, but they do some kind of a thing, but it's not on physical level. He says they'll not find anything in your head if you x-rayed it or if you had an operation. There's nothing there, but it shows up as a physical. I said, that's what I was told, and I told him what happened. He said, yep, there's no pain, but from that point on, constant, I hear them constantly. They can communicate or talk if I need them, and so no more pain. It's like constant open channel, and that's what happened since 1973.
And in your pictures, I see some beings.
Yes.
They look very humanoid. Yes. We can call them Nordics, and they have long hair, and they wear a kind of a uniform, right?
Yeah. Also wear, depending, that would be the spacesuit, but they, you know, you'd be casual. They have different types of clothing.
So who are they?
These are ancient beings. They come from another galaxy that doesn't even exist anymore. They said a long time ago, and this is my family. I call them family. So I feel, and I'm part of their family. Some of my first UFO sighting with them was feeling of love and family. So they come, they explain, there's a galaxy that once existed that went towards where all these other galaxies are heading towards in the universe. They're going towards this light, this central light area. I guess some people call it the central sun. They call it known as the great central sun, but that's not a sun. It's an energy spot. Mm-hmm. And I know some of the astronomers have seen this light in the distance somehow, and they don't understand it. They think it's a star or a cluster of systems. But they said, no, they told me it was a representation of light coming through from frequencies that looks like light. But as we head toward it, that's where the frequencies are shifting. As our galaxies are moving, they're shifting. And that, I've been talking about that since the early 70s and late 70s when I gave talks, that the frequency shifting of our solar system is caused by our galaxy moving closer to this frequency of this energy, of this great light source. and it's spinning and spinning, our galaxy, our solar system, and the frequencies are changing. But it's been happening since the early 80s too, and they say, oh, we're heading for the fourth dimension. But the beings have said, you're already entering the fourth dimension already, way back. But that's why people have been getting speeded up, or the feeling of time is faster.
Oh, yes. So everybody is asking me the same thing. People think that the time is passing much faster than before, and nobody gets older. I mean, a 65-year-old person looks much younger comparing 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and feels younger, okay? Yeah. In the past, a 55-year-old woman would feel older. But now, 55 is very young, physically and spiritually. So do you think that that's because of the changing of the vibrations?
I believe that's possible, yes. And also, a lot of people don't need as much sleep as they used to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they feel like they're energized. But when people don't get enough sleep and they wake up tired, mm-hmm. a lot of times that means the person didn't get out of their body totally etherically. On the etheric level is where we recharge some of these bodies, these astral bodies that come back with some energy for us. And if we don't totally get out there to utilize that, we can sleep for 8 hours and be totally tired when we wake up. It's not like you were exhausted. And people say, man, I slept for 6 or 8 hours, I'm still tired. And I was, you didn't totally get out where you got all the way to the etheric level of your body to frequency up. Because a person can have a deep sleep pattern. If they're not getting enough deep sleep, they won't get out all the way.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are constantly under stress or having a lot of noise, they're not really going to get all that out to get that deep REM sleep. And that's the spot where the etheric gets charged. So it's important for the person to get at least a certain number of hours of deep sleep where they're really in that sleep state.
You know. And how often do you have UFO, ET, or spiritual related experiences now?
Last night when I got home from the...
After the conference?
After the conference. What time was that? It was around 2 o'clock in the morning. I went to the living room window and I opened up the window and I said, well, did that go okay? Was it cool? And this giant, New York City, not the place I always see a meteor or anything, this is a big bright thing, comes up right down straight in front of me. And I thought, okay, because it was right after I asked it. And I said, just in case, I play this game. I said, just in case that was not a meteor, was it okay and how's tomorrow going to go? And one went straight across and stopped. So I said, okay. So I called my wife and I said, okay, they just answered, just to be safe. I never see meteors in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived here for 30 years.
Yeah.
Upstate, I see some stuff, but I can always tell when a probe is shot. There's a different look to it. It looks like a disguised meteor, but it's not. It's very quick and it's like a light source. And in the old days, I call them the 70s, I used to be on the school field where I live up there, and people would be with me and friends, and I'd ask them, I said, please, do one item here if you can. If you can't take a big ship, do some probe shooting. And in the exact same spot, I'd go, okay, they said they'll shoot one probe, one, two, three, and then the third quad, we go, three, and there would be a light go right in front of us on top. Then people would go, well, how do I know if it was a meteor? So they go, okay, one more time, one, two, three, same spot, one, two, three, same spot, another one. Three times in a row in the same exact spot would come a light beam, like very quick, an invisible ship like that, shooting a beam. And we'd have that kind of fun. But the people that were with me might not have been people ready to see a real craft. So those people that would not be ready didn't know it, but they were just like thrill seeking. And they'd leave after a while, and the other people would stay. And the ones that stayed till after 1 in the morning, and we just hung out there. They say, okay, the people left. So we go back in the field and go, now, what are we going to do? Anything? Things will happen. So that's how they work. They test people. They're teachers, in a sense. And they, I'm at higher dimensional space. They're not just going to come and do things for people. And I tell people, don't expect anything. But you got to come with love. You have to have love. And if you don't expect it, they show up as a sign for some things. I can't guarantee what they're going to do. I ask for certain things, and I don't know how they'll play the game, because they say, well, you know, there's some people that we can't do that for.
And then, so are we talking about physical beings?
No, higher frequency. They're dimensional beings. They actually come from a 12th dimensional plane. Mm-hmm. They said, and there's many levels of those. Then they come down to the 10th, And then that's a very high consciousness, and people call them light beings and stuff. Now, then they come down to the seventh level where they are right now, seventh plane dimensional densities. And that's where they form that body that I drew. That's the body. When I'm out of body, I go to that level with them, and that's where I work on the ships at night and help with people who are transitioning as well around the Earth. That's one of the little side jobs I've done. And people who I've taken out of body with me, when they ask for it, go to the ship with me. And they see and remember a lot of different things. So it's happened with a couple of people, but it's a few people.
You know what? In many religious texts, or in the life of saints or prophets, there is something similar. They say that they were taken to the skies, to the different dimensions of the heaven by angels, to the 10th dimension, 12th dimension. Can we think that they also had a similar experience like this?
I know they, where I've been, there are angels. I don't talk about it with other people most of the time, but Christian people, I say, yeah, I've met angels. I've seen my own guardians. They come to me very rarely, but they've been there. And they're huge. I have a female and I have a male, and I have their names, and they told me their names when I was a little kid. And they're androgynous looking. And the female will look more feminine. Mm-hmm. And the male will look, you know, huge male, gold hair or something. But some of them can have all different color hair, all different color race. Doesn't matter. If a person's Asian, their angel will resemble an Asian because that's what they expect. If you're black, they'll resemble a black. Mm-hmm. So they take on any form we expect. It's whatever a person expects, actually. I have Asian friends, so even if my Asian friends said, well, I expect to have a golden blonde angel, okay, they'll be there for you that way. They told me they take on the look or just kind of the, I guess, hair color, anything we expect that feels right for us. So they can appear as an old person or a young person or a tall person. They said to me originally the wings are optional. They don't really have wings. They just put them on if people expect it. Because in the original, they don't normally have wings. They're beings.
Yes, I can see that. We give names. We give titles. We give adjectives to all these beings, to all these experiences based on our knowledge. So we gave the name of UFO, unidentified flying object. We gave the name of extraterrestrial, even though we really don't know their origins. Now, do they say that they are extraterrestrial? Do they come in UFOs? Do they admit it?
Are the space beings?
Yes.
Well, here's what they the ships that they use, they're all made by thought, creation of mass.
Not physical.
Not on the highest levels. Mm-hmm. It feels physical to us. Yeah. If you're there, it feels physical. But it's all a mental creation on all these teachers and all these, I guess you'd say, masters and whatever, all these beings. And it's been there for many millions of years. These things, they grow. They're huge. They're bigger than planets. And these are on the outskirts of the solar systems, farther out in solar systems. They're beyond heliospheres of the stars. And they are out there, and they're rotating around, and they're going around the solar system, so they're just stationary in certain spots, and they move through space, teleport, but they're on those high dimensions. The ones that come through on the lower, as they come through, and where I've had the encounters with them, what happens is, they said, we take a craft, we'll call it a scout ship, they don't call it that, but we take one of the crafts, and they create the craft up there. It's a real ship in that way, and it comes through the frequencies and transforms through the frequencies to work with each dimension. As it comes to our dimensional space, our 3D Earth, mm-hmm. it forms into a more solid object. Mm-hmm. But it's really, and it's just made that way. We can imagine if the craft is like a huge, almost like a living presence of energy of light, and some I can't explain it, but it's the craft itself has its own knowledge of what it is. It's almost like a cell. I don't want to explain it, but it is what it is, and we're in it, and we can be in it. Yet it's got walls that are constantly moving with light. They're so beautiful, and they soothe you. The floors are not hard at all. There's like an air buffer. You feel like you're not walking on solid floor. You feel like you're walking on a cushion. And I've explained this since I was a kid, that the first being that came to me when I was five, I watched walking towards me. It wasn't walking on the grass, but just above the grass. And I was like, ooh. And it looked like it was float walking. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you know, taking a step and moving, and there's a float effect to it. It was very cool. But on the ship, there is a cushion buffer, and they'll wear a shoe like we might have, like looks like a shoe. But the darn things are molded in a way that everything, the clothing is just created to work. So if they came through physical, these outfits that are made of fabric that I've never on earth ever seen, but it's so beautiful, the iridescent, almost opalescent, they come in different shades depending on mood. You can make a green, you can make a gold, you can make a silver. And for the physical bodies that they create, only temporarily for these beings, they say, we don't walk away from the crafts. We won't go very far from them because the ship itself works as a giant energizing frequency. It's working as a frequency for them. So as long as you're within, like, let's say we got a 30-foot scout or a 60-foot scout ship, a big ship, if you walk 100 feet or, you know, away, it'll still help you with the frequency, but it won't leave their area of the ship because they're such from this other frequency of this density. Our air, our I can't explain it, our physicalness here is very heavy for them. Mm-hmm. And I've been in their buffer. I how can we call it? It's like an energy that comes out. It looks like a giant cocoon of light. And I've been through that, and all sound ceases, all wind ceases, and you smell, God, you smell what I call the scent of sanctity. I don't know what else to call it. So much peace, so much love, and smell of flowers like lily of the valley, earth, pine needles, everything of around the planet, but it's mostly a flower effect, like gardens. And it's winter with wind and snow. And I walk through with my dog, too, at the time, and there's so much peace and warmth. And these beings surround me. They were huge light. They were in their light bodies. They look like huge beings of light. You could teleport, almost like transparently see through them. You could see features, but they weren't the solid body. And they told us, we're not here solid. We're just here in energy. So they came through, surrounded me. And then they separated. And I went back. When I got back out of this domed thing around this school field, all of a sudden all the wind came and all the birds, and the little night birds with cheeping, and the wind was there, and my dog was like, whoa, this is great. So I've had that experience of this protective field they talked about that they send out with the ship that protects them. So, but it's a solid body. The person that picked me up was solid. Most beautiful. We can't describe these beings on earth. They're too beautiful to describe. I'd have to say, and they told me they're not angels, but they would be called the messenger, that an angelic being is a different frequency or a different, we're different species in a sense of saying. It's like another species. It's not like us. We're a soul and they're of another species of a higher, even a higher frequency. But they work with us, love us, and we work with each other. So they do work with angelic beings up there where they are. Because I've seen them up there and I said, and they always said, yeah, we're here. That's it. Space angels, basically. But they work with us. So we're all from space.
Yeah, I mean, you know, say it again.
You know, like all souls on all planets everywhere, we're all from space. We're not just here only, but we can move and do different things. My whole mission, I guess I'd say from them, I'd have to say it's a little message. They wanted me to always say is, let people understand that and not fear death. There's other places to go. You're not just stuck around the earth planes, because a lot of people come back reincarnating. That there's other thoughts to think. There's other places to go. And as you send your thoughts up and say, I know there's more. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. I want to be in space. I'm going to check this out. And then they go, they'll make a way for a person to meet up with these teachers, your own guides or teachers will help you guide, help a person be guided to meet them. And then they'll be given a choice. Do you want to work for a while and come out and see what it's like? Because here it's all free. It's free.
Mark, thank you very much for this amazing interview. And I wish you the best with your art and with your experiences, and hoping to get together soon. Thank you.
Thank you. They say Vasu.
Bye-bye.